Hey, this is Pastor John Riley. Welcome to our Open Door Podcast. I hope that it blesses you. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can visit us online at opendoorsanterfell.com.
Today, the sermon title is Strengthen What Remains, and we're going to be talking about loss and failure in life. We're going to look at three different situations in the Bible and see if there's something there that God has for us to receive today. So, Father, thank you again for this day, this beautiful spring day. And Lord, thank you for everyone who is able to be here today. God bless them. Lord, thank you for anyone watching from home today. We pray your blessing on them as well. So, Lord, I thank you for this message. I pray you'll bless it and breathe your life into it. And Lord, that your message will come through today for your sake and our sake. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read first from the book of Revelation, which is always an experience. And as a side note, you know, reading the Bible out loud is a really powerful experience. But reading the book of Revelation out loud is really a powerful experience. In fact, we're encouraged to do that. And I've done it several times, and it's, even though I don't understand almost any of it, to be honest, somehow it's powerful and it just has an effect on you. So thank you, God, for what you do. Going to be looking at one of the churches. There are seven churches that are addressed in the book of Revelation that Jesus had a message for these seven different churches. And we're going to look for a moment at the church at Sardis. Now, everything I read here about Sardis does not necessarily apply to our church, thankfully. But there is something in there that I want us to take away today. So it's Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And it says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." Now, what this really means here, the angel is the leader or leaders of the church. And him who has the seven spirits or seven stars, that's Jesus himself. And he says to them, "I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your works. I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church," or churches. The line I really want to pick up on here is, "Wake up and strengthen what remains before it dies or is about to die." So, John, this is the Apostle John. He's on the island of Patmos. It's a little island. He's an enemy of the state, so to speak, and he's an old man. He's probably in his 90s at this point. It was written 70 A.D., and he's the last remaining disciple, I'm sure. So John is the last of the original 12. So John receives a message from Jesus for the church leaders at Sardis, and obviously this is an incredible experience that John has, or had, and I'm not sure he understood it all either, but he faithfully received it and passed it on to us. Now, Sardis was a very rich city in Asia Minor, which would be modern-day Turkey today. And it was a pagan city, though it did have the body of Christ was there, only it was in a very weak state, obviously. It was famous for its temples and whatnot, especially the temple to Artemis. She was the goddess of hunting, for some reason, and childbirth, very diverse. Anyway, very famous. And one of the stories about Sardis is twice in their history they were overcome. Their enemies came and overtook them. And the reason that happened was because in both cases, the watchmen on the walls were asleep at the job. So there's a message right there, right? Sleep on the job, the enemy can come in and take over. So that's part of their history that wasn't too good. They were overcome twice just because they weren't on the job. The church that was in Sardis was once alive, still appears so outwardly. It kind of looked like the church outwardly, and without being judgmental, I'm sure, well, there are churches that look that way today that may appear to be religious but deny the power thereof. Anyway, so they appeared outwardly to be Christian, but they were dead or dying inside. And that's a warning for us all, isn't it? We can walk through life looking like a Christian, you can talk like a Christian, try to act like a Christian, but inside you could actually be dead or dying. Your relationship with the Lord could be not good. So lots of warnings for all of us in here. So God's word to them was, wake up, repent, and strengthen what remains. So there was a remnant in Sardis that had not given up, that was still somewhat faithful to the Lord. And so God's word to the church and to the leaders at Sardis is, wake up, repent, and strengthen what remains. And this is to the leadership. Look around, who among you is still following the Lord? Strengthen what remains. Strengthen what remains. So the message to us, I believe, is that we are to stay awake. Hopefully we haven't fallen asleep. We are to stay awake as the church, stay alive, and rebuild on what we have, on what we have right here. You know, the past 2 years, so many churches have really taken a beating across America. There are churches that just simply closed their doors and never reopened. There are pastors who just gave up and decided to pursue another line of work to make their income. It's happened all across America. And a lot of churches in Marin have been affected. Our church has been affected, obviously, because our size is about one half of what it was before the pandemic. So, but God's word to us is stay awake, stay alive, and rebuild on what you have. Strengthen what remains. And this is a message God has been putting in my heart, and it should be for all of us, that you look around. First of all, I thank God that you're all here. I thank God that you're what remains, and that we are to strengthen one another for now and in the future. Stay awake, be alive, and strengthen what remains. We need to focus on what we have and not on what we have lost. Be thankful and rebuild. This is something God's been speaking into my heart. It's easy to focus on what we've lost in any area of life, and we've all suffered loss in our life. You know, some of it's been deep and painful loss, lighter loss, but we've all been through the experience and will continue, I'm sure, that we lose things in life. It happens to us. But God has been encouraging me, like in the case of our church, don't focus on the people that are no longer here, though I still pray for them and I still reach out to them. But don't focus on that. Don't obsess over the folks who aren't here anymore, but focus on the ones who are here. And be thankful for them and strengthen, because God has better days for us. I remember, just a few years ago now, a fire came through and destroyed the city of Paradise, California. And I have friends who suffered loss up there. Just destroyed the city. It was just gone. And but I can remember they would interview some families afterwards. And it's so touching because the husband or the wife or the mother or the father would say, we've lost everything. We've lost everything, but we still have what's most important. We still have our family. We're still together. We're alive and well. We've lost everything, but we still have what's most important. We have our family. And I appreciate that message, and I take that to heart for my life. I take it to heart for the life of our church, that we've lost a lot, but we still have family here, and it's a blessing to have you all here. Strengthen what remains. We thank God for all of you. Another version of this, this is a little different twist on loss. We're talking about loss and failure today. This is in Luke chapter 22. There's different perspective on this. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon. Now, this is the night before Jesus is crucified. He has got a lot to say to his disciples. And this is to Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you. Whoa! That means God had big plans for Peter, okay? Satan desires to have all of us, believe me. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for opportunities to get all of us. Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. That sounds terrible. But I have prayed for you. And that's a good word. You know, I've told you this, we all know this, that Jesus is the right hand of God the Father, ever making intercession for us. He's always praying for us, night and day, 24/7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. Now, Peter said, now, Peter, typical Peter, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Gotta love Peter, right? But Jesus says, I'm sure lovingly, but clearly, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. Whoa. You got to be kidding, Lord. You know, you're a little off today. That's not going to happen. Well, we all know that it did happen. The night before he was crucified, Jesus warns Peter that he, Peter, will deny him, and so he did. Indeed, before the night was over, in fear, all the disciples fled. When they came to get Jesus, when the army came to get him, they all fled. They took off. It was too much for them. And at the cross, only John had the courage to come and witness the crucifixion, plus Jesus' mother and some others, of course. But John did have the courage to do that. But the good news is this. Peter did recover from this. And the Bible said he wept bitterly. When the reality of what he did, you know, what he had said in boldness, and what he actually did, when it really hit him, it says he wept bitterly and repented. And then if you follow the storyline, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and on the day of Pentecost, he declared the gospel boldly, without any fear, knowing it could mean his life, and 3,000 were saved. So something happened. Something happened. For a moment, Peter lost his faith and failed, but he turned again, strengthened his brothers, and upon this rock, the church was built. Thank God. We all suffer loss and failure in this life. All of us. I mean, well, we do. But God would not have us focus on our loss and our failure, but rather turn again, be restored, and move forward. It's not easy to do, but that's what God would have us to do. Turn again, be restored, and move forward. Jesus did not focus on the fact that Peter was going to fail. but on his recovery and the future. That's what was in Jesus' heart, and that's what he focused on. Our enemy will try to use our losses and failures to hold us captive. And many of us, I think, have been held captive by mistakes we've made, failures or losses that we've suffered. And we're held captive by that. We're not able to move on. But God wants us to move on. Don't let the enemy do that to you. Cry out to the Lord and receive his grace, because God has grace for everything in your life. Every failure, every loss, every mistake, he has grace and favor for everything that's happened like that in your life. If you'll just turn to him and cry out, he will help you to get back on your feet. Now, this is not easy. It's easy to say these words, but it's not easy necessarily to do it. You know, we all have losses and, again, losses and mistakes and failures in our life that haunt us. I mean, I have mistakes I've made in my life, and I've been around for a while now, that still haunt me or trouble me. God has helped me to rise above it and move on and live my life for him, but they still bother me, and they will, I think, until I get to heaven. You know, I would be willing to bet that Peter, as long as he lived, every time he heard a rooster crow, he went, "Ah, worst night of my life." Right? Worst night of my life. I denied Jesus 3 times. I was such a coward. You know? But God redeemed him from that. He turned, and God put him back on his feet. God is about redemption. He's about redeeming us in all of our losses and all of our failures in this life. And I love that verse in Romans we all know. For God wants to work all things together for good in our life, for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And that's God's plan and desire for our lives. With every loss, with every failure, he wants to bring redemption and bring something good out of it. And if you really let God do it, God will bring something good out of every loss and failure. As painful as it might be in the moment, he will redeem it and bring something good out of it. Thank God for that. We're going to talk about something in the Old Testament. There was a time when the Jewish people had basically walked away from God. They did that more than once, and maybe we've done that more than once. But in their disobedience and their failure, God allowed them to be taken into captivity to Babylon for 70 years. But he did give them a promise that something good would happen at the end of that. For their disobedience and failure, the Jewish people were taken captive to Babylon for 70 years. The temple in Jerusalem and its walls were destroyed. Now, I don't know if we have anything in our life that's that meaningful, but to the Jewish people, the temple built by Solomon in all of its glory and the walls that were so carefully built to protect the city were destroyed. What a painful thing to live with as they're trekking off to Babylon, you know, where they're chained up or whatever it was. Just dwelling on this, you know, looking back over their shoulder and seeing smoke and destruction in their city, how painful that must have been. After 70 years, those who wanted to were allowed to return to Jerusalem with permission to rebuild. After many years and many ups and downs, the temple and walls were rebuilt. And there were many ups and downs. There were failures and disappointments along the way, but finally it was accomplished. However, if it wasn't for men like Ezra and Nehemiah and the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, the work would never have been completed. But God used these men to strengthen what remained. You know, this remnant that came back. They strengthened them. They prayed for them. They exhorted them to do this. And though they would build and then stop out of fear, and then build and stop out of fear, eventually with God's help and the encouragement of others to strengthen them, the work was completed. But these men continued to strengthen, encourage, and exhort the people to continue. God is faithful. I want to read this from the prophet Haggai, this one part here. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, the remnant, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? The temple of Solomon was so glorious. How do you see it now? They have rebuilt the temple, but it doesn't compare, really. Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in and will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. So these people have worked hard. They've rebuilt the temple. It does not compare to Solomon, and they're discouraged. You know, I thought of, for me, I remember the days when our church had 300 people. 300 people. We had a long season when our church was that big, and then things happened. And now we're not that big, okay? And so you say, okay, I'll compare our church now to the former glory. You know, but this is a word for us. This is a word for us. God is not through. And he says the glory of this new temple will exceed the glory of the former. Now, whether that shows up in numbers, that's not the point. The point is God is with us. God wants to bless. If we're faithful and continue in the work, if we strengthen one another, God will bless and always do great things, because that's what God does. That's what God does. It doesn't matter how many people are here, really, though we'd love to see a lot more. But God loves to do great things. He is faithful and he restores. In spite of whatever losses or failures you or our church have suffered, God wants us to strengthen what remains and rebuild. He wants to bless and work all things together for good. Thank you, Lord. I want to read one final passage, another familiar one. This is from Jeremiah. For thus says the Lord. Now, this is when the people are still in captivity. They haven't been released to come back yet. They're still living under that discipline. When 7 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. That's God's word to us all, individually and as a church, that whatever loss you've suffered, whatever failures you've committed or have had in your life, God wants to restore and bless and bring us back, because his plans for us are for good and not for evil, that we would all, individually, as families in a church, have a future and a hope. And that goes for the body of Christ everywhere. That's what's in God's heart for us all. It's been a difficult season, but God is with us, and God has wonderful things for us all in the future if we will keep our hearts and minds focused on him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day, for the opportunity to just to be here and share your promises and your message to us, Lord. Lord, help us to embrace this. Lord, I pray for us all. We have all suffered loss in this life. We've all had our share of failures. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for the mistakes we made, and we pray for blessing and healing and restoration. And God, you'll help us to rise again and help us to strengthen one another now and in the days to come for your sake, for your purposes, and your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.